June 12, 2021. It's the Wofford Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday, June 12th. It's Kay's B-Day. Bass player for Black Flag and winner of Oscars and shit like that. Incredible. Band member of Dose. Also, what came out? Yeah, the Tulona Pedro record. Anyway, we started with The Believer from John Coltrane. And then track one from the Brainwave Upgrade by Twig Harbor. And people, you know, Brother Matt still at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south. But we're pulling out of this quarantino mode, but still here. But I am not man alone, people, because of those software engineers that stoned you with their Skype invention. I got Brother Twig Harper. Welcome aboard, Twig.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolute. Absolute. And we got to thank this brutal special effects crew for the Kinect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll say no more about that. Now, cool. Interesting the music you make, man. I mean, this bitch, when I got this and listened to it, I'm thinking, whoa, actually, a lot of people been connecting me to this kind of thing, and it's come around from when I was a boy listening to, what was his name? He had a show. We have a version of what you guys got up there called KPFK. Yours was the first one, KPFA in the Bay, Burke. Uh-huh. And this guy, Carl Stone, Imaginary Landscape, named after Carl, who's that guy with the silence?
Cage?
John Cage, yeah, it's named after John Cage. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, the good thing about Alzheimer's, you're always hearing new music and meeting new people.
I mean, it's an endless well. To make
anyway, it's weird how 40 years, 50 years later, I'm caught up in this kind of same trip, man. Not exactly, of course, you guys are doing your own thing, but it's trippy that, you know, I love Jack Bruce and working the bass, you know, James Jamerson, but it's, for me, music is music, and
yeah.
Anyway, please bring your first, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, man. Okay, so, earliest so I didn't, my upbringing, I was born, my parents, hippies, they were like, you know, they were like, we're going to drop out, you know, society's poison, culture's poison, the government's corrupt, we're going to go farm. Erie, Pennsylvania, we're gonna like just go back to the earth. We're gonna have chickens and cows and, you know, garden. And I think my mother was really into raising me and my brother like, feral as possible. Like she wanted to like keep us like some part of us vital, not poisoned by the outside world. And, didn't have musical instruments in the house, didn't have a record player, didn't have a TV, you know, so that was like this weird bubble I existed in. And then,
but you could still have music. Did the family sing together, dance?
No,
and shit?
No, oh, no, okay. Not really. There was a cello my mother had, but I swear I never heard her play it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and.
In your homeschool?
Then no, actually I went to public school a little bit, but I mean, all I really remember.
Can I ask you though?
Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of schools got rid of their music programs, but did the you go to have one?
Not until I moved to Florida. You know, like my dad couldn't. He was working at a car auto, you know, what is it, factory. It closed down, got a job in Florida. And so it, you know, my mother would start dragging me and my brother to church. Methodists, pretty vanilla, you know, but.
But still some singing in church, right?
Yeah. I mean, the singing, I hated church and I was also very anxious because when people would sing and they would bring out the handbells, something about it would just hit me right in the heart, you know, and maybe it was the reverb, maybe it was just, you know, I'm just sensitive, but I would cry, you know, like tears would just uncontrollably, and I would be so anxious. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, what is this going on?
It might've been the feral part still in you.
Yeah, like I have no architecture for that.
Okay, so trippy. So no music at school, no music at home, a little music in mm-hmm. church, but it's kind of trippy. but how do you get on a path, well, Brother Tripp?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, like my path, there was books in the house, and there was a Salvador Dali book, right? And so like surrealism. And I just remember pouring hours of like, whoa, this is about perception. And what am I seeing here? And what is like this? You know, like what is this art like doing to me? And so I was having profound experiences experiencing visual art. When there's a Japanese gardens in Florida that my family would go to because they like plants. And I'm pretty sure I saw like a kabuki performance there that really like blew my mind.
Oh, yeah. Was it like the traditional ones where they like go for it? You can like leave and come back because they're going on for hours?
I have no idea, but I just remember they were just, you know, people painted up, dressed up, emoting in like sort of ways I never saw, you know? Right. Just, I was like, wow, that was really something, you know?
Yeah. So what you're telling me, because music is artistic expression, painting like Salvador Dali, musical expression, theater like the Kabuki, that's musical. It's all artistic expression.
Yeah.
So just and different ways, right?
Totally different ways. Yeah. And so for me, that was like, I don't think music really ever came in. I was kind of like looking at this total experience and, you know, looking at art and thinking about that. And I think from not having just like, you know, hearing the radio by existing in hell America, it never grabbed me. And then, let's see, like sixth grade. Oh, God. Oh, wait, no. Here we go. Like, my mother got a piano maybe when I was 12. And she got a piano. And then she's like, I'm going to give you piano lessons because I think you need friends. And the teacher, very strict German man.
Oh, so bad experience.
You can probably guess. You can probably guess what happened next.
I've had so many guests on the show, Brother Twig, that it almost made him quit music.
I know. I mean, he had the ruler out and everything. I definitely got my hands smacked, you know. But I think that something in me at that point was just like, I don't need this system. Like, if I want to do music, I don't need this, you know.
Right.
And then, like, sixth grade school band wanted to play drums. And when they had me try out, they're just like, you have no rhythm. Here's the clarinet, you know.
licorice stick. That used to be very popular, you know, about 50, 60 years ago, like Benny Goodman, Artie Shaw. I mean, it was like the front man of the band, but yeah, it got eclipsed.
I was last chair. Yeah. I was like, but the cool thing was, second to last chair, he was a skateboarder, and he had cassette tapes.
That's the great connect, people.
Yeah. So like getting turned on to punk, you know, and just being like, what is this? This whole other world, you know?
Yeah, because when you say Florida, hell, America, well, what about fucking Rat Bastard? I think he's way in the south of there.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of more north of Miami, and I was kind of out in the stick, you know, north of Palm Beach in the sticks, 45 minutes to there. So I wasn't aware of him.
Also, the country's mixed up. We have patches of everything, right?
Yeah.
So, go on. You're in the last chair with clarinet, but you're connected to a cat who can turn you on with, which was bitching in those days, the mixtape, because this is how, right? This is how we pollute each other with creativity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that was like, I mean, I think that's the thing that was like, you know, seeing how sort of like all this punk stuff that was happening, you know, some years before, but it distilled all the way down to this point. You know, it was still going on too, but like, I think a lot of the stuff was like, oh, this is already, you know, happened or gone or in, you know, in some form is still happening, but it was like it felt like another world, you know, it felt like an entryway into something dangerous and not, you know, not like America, you know.
Right. But you know, Hodges, once I was doing my first album, Steve Hodges, Nels Klein, and I told him I was scared, and Hodges said, look, being scared has got like being a little bit excited.
Yeah.
I want to play something here from you. Track two.
Yeah.
Very imaginative title. Thank you.
left camping up for sure. Try to reach out, but it's gone. Lucky stars in your eyes. I am walking a cow. I really don't know how I came here. Now why I'm staying here. Oh, oh, I am walking a cow. Try to point my finger, but the wind is blowing around in circles, circles. Lucky stars in your eyes. I am walking the cow. Thank you.
sort of lay here and hope everyone leaves me alone. I'm just gonna lay here and hope everyone leaves me alone. I'm gonna make like the forces do when no one bothers you. I'm just gonna lay here and hope everyone leaves me alone. I'm gonna lay right in this hole, hope everyone leaves me alone with the dirt stuck right up to my eyes. I'm gonna lay right in this. I'm just gonna lay here and hope everyone leaves me alone. I'm gonna make like the corpses do when no one bothers you. I'm just gonna lay here and hope everyone leaves me alone. I'm gonna lay right in this hole, hope everyone leaves me alone with the dirt stuck right up to my eyes. I'm just gonna lay here and hope everyone leaves me alone.
Okay, here's a song that I like for Night Trotter. Thank you.
for Pedro Show. That was Twig Harper with track 2 from the Brainwave Upgrade. And then James Elegans, he did his so many people have covered this tune, Walking the Cow, including myself, and he kind of used some of my interp, but we stuck with mainly the words and the chords, but like he came with my Mercy Beat thing. And then Had Boggle after that, he's on the show last week, Bass Morse. Track 3, Brainwave Upgrade, Twig Harbor. Eviction is Victoria Shen with Fever Pitch. Yeah, incredible. She just turned me on to this invention where she's got stylus on her fingernails, man. So she can do 4.
So cool.
Man, scientist rock, man. I mean, incredible. Now I want to lay here from SLWCC Watt, a project, did an album last month with Sam Lockward, Iowa City, Bob Buckle Jr., his buddy in nearby Dubuque, so Over the Rainbow, and finally Twig Harbor with track 4. Very imaginative with these tops. Brainwave Upgrade. Okay, to continue. Somebody's fucking pried open the fucking creativity door. You're ready to let the freak flag fly.
Yeah. And I think another important thing that happened to me at this time, my mother went through a divorce, and she was like dating someone who played bass in a bar rock band, all right?
No.
And I went and saw...
I like the bass part, though.
The what?
I like the bass part, but the bar band part, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, I saw them play at, like, you know, maybe it was like an oyster bar or something, and I had, you know, it was like, whatever. But I liked the volume of it.
Hey, speaking of a Florida bar, there was one called the Flamingo in St. Petersburg. I think Jack Kerouac ends up killing him. That fight he gets in.
Oh, no.
I just read about this. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. But I saw the band, and then I asked him, I'm like, hey, could I get a guitar? You know, I didn't know any difference, like, what guitars were, because I wanted it for the amplifier. He gives me an acoustic guitar, and he's like, well, once you learn how to play this, you know, maybe we'll get you an amp. And I picked that thing up and just, like, was like, I've got too much ADD to actually understand how this works.
Fail.
Yeah. But from that moment, I was like, well, I want to make music. What do I have in my hands? And this is, I think, a common story. I feel like I've talked to people around the cassette world. Is like, you figure out that actually there's a record button on that cassette player.
And this cassette player can be a musical instrument.
Yeah. And so I figured out, like, oh, if you just tape over the erase head, you can do sound on sound.
Right.
And so that was, like, my first way into, like, sound making.
Like layering it up.
Yeah. Layering it up, yeah. And just doing that. And, you know, there really wasn't, the town I was in, there wasn't, like, a music scene. And then I ended up moving to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And at that time, there was just, like, a collection, you know, of magic happening when a scene was developing and all these people.
Well, that's Stooges Town. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, that's – Michigan has a heavy history. You know, the bar's really high.
Right. Yeah. But you started the experiment with the cassettes in Florida. Now you're in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
No performances, but you're doing compositions in the bedroom or something?
Yeah, pretty much. But only, you know, I mean – mainly just to, like, my few friends, like, just so we could take drugs and listen to sound. And I was like, I'll just make the soundtrack.
Right. That's a good idea. It's got to have a purpose, right? You got to anchor it to something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to – I mean, music's social, so, right, you know, it's a utility. Yeah.
Absolutely. And did you have any heroes? Did you find like-minded cassette people?
Well, I mean, having heard punk, I heard – you know, Butthole Surfers, people turned me on to, like, Chrome.
I understand. Music from the movement. But what about in this endeavor, working the machines like you are? Did you have compatriots?
Well, in Michigan, so, like, I got a crew in Michigan. Okay. So it was, like, people who you've actually had on your show recently, like Aaron Dillaway.
Oh, shit,
Tom Holman, USA is a Monster, Nathan Young from Wolf Eyes. Handful, you know, just tons of people everywhere. And so we were all there, like, you know, late teens, early, you know, we were still all teenagers when we met. And our brains were just, like, on the same wave.
So is it this kind of situation where, like, kind of incestuous, everybody's in different projects with each other?
Yeah, must have been, you know, maybe 10 of us, but, like, 30 projects.
And they're just different augmentations, right?
Yeah, kind of like, this band sounds like this, and, like, what influences are we going to put into this one? And, like, you know, we had one band called the Beast People. We would dress up in, like, we were beasts. you know, so it's like kind of performative and like sticking.
Okay, we're talking performances. Yeah. So you start doing gigs. Yeah. It's not just taking drugs and listening to music. You're actually performing.
Well, yeah.
Well, tell me about your first one. You can only have your first one once.
Yeah. The first one, which is, I don't know if this would be considered the high school band because I got expelled from every high school I went to.
That's okay.
But,
you're A-plus in the school life, brother.
Yeah. I started it and it was called Scheme. Like, we're up to something bad.
Right.
Kind of like the whole thing was like, I was like, okay, we're just going to get a bunch of people together and we're going to freak out. and like, I don't care who's in it. And so
you mean the ensemble? You're talking about the ensemble sharing the stage with you.
Yeah. Well, in stage, I mean, stage is loose because, like, you know, one night we're like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, okay, let's get in the car, throw all this junk, like literally junk, drive to frat houses, pretend we're a lost, like, reggae band, and that we're like, knock on the door of this frat house and be like, hey, we're the band, we're here to play, and then like convince them to let us play and be like, oh, well, we're here anyway, yeah, we're just gonna play for a little bit and have a free party. But then the whole MO would be like, smash everything in the room and get out before we got beat up and then go to the next.
You know, the Stooges guy, you know, I did 125 months with them. They told me that was a gig, was playing frat houses. Ann Arbor had buttloads of them.
Yeah.
To me, that's so fucking square, John, because I come, you know, I'm 13 in 1970, so the idea of playing frat houses is like, what the fuck? But you guys were kind of being a little provocative, bilge.
Oh, yeah, we were extremely bad. Yeah.
It was the scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you didn't get asked for an encore. In a way, the gig was a success.
Oh, it was a total success. Yeah, totally.
They didn't get to fucking throw chingazos on you, and you got out of Dodge after fucking blowing their fucking minds.
I mean, there had been a few shows where definitely people have gotten beat up and cut and stuff. And, you know, there was one night where I decided to cut the power to a competing house show with a bolt cutters on the main power main. Very bad idea.
Yeah, Jesus. You know the one-hand rule, right? Because if you get only 100 milliamps across your chest, you can have a heart attack. So electrical workers always work with one hand, so it don't go across your chest. Now, bolt cutter, you got one in each hand, and they're metal.
Yeah, well, they had rubber, and I knew the one-hand thing, but I was still, but my friend who watched stood back 20 feet, and was like, you're totally insane. Said it looked like a Looney Tunes cartoon where like a big
would you see the skeleton?
He could see the skeleton and he had to like throw me over his shoulder.
Oh man, too much. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 12, 2021. Dishwap Peter's special guest, Twig Harper, hold time for hour two. June 12, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. I wondered. I never wonder. Turgid apprehension. Dirty declension of all my nasty now. Where is the underground? The secret room. Ticket to the show. Hesitation creeps in. As I begin to see, I'm not dusty. I'm not dusty. I wonder. I never wonder.
Pedro Show, that was track five, we'll start off the second hour, track five, Brainwave Upgrade, Twig Harper, and Ben Salter out of Tasmania was Squander It, track six, Brainwave Upgrade, Twig Harper, Jesus Saved Me from My Fellow Christians from the Klein Quartet, Brother Scotty in North Carolina. I just floated him a bunch of bass for a collab with Makoto Kawabata, and let's see what happens. Finally, Twig Harper, track seven, Brainwave Upgrade. I'm noticing a pattern. Okay, so what happens after these first scheme gigs?
Well, what sort of happened, I think, at that time was it just got too chaotic, too many people, too free. And so the energy with the people, you know, it was too free. And then the energy that I was like, that I was more like interested in focusing on, there was an offshoot of that called Nautical Almanac. And that was Nathan Young from Wolf Eyes and then our friend Saul Meltzer. And we were like, okay, let's do songs. Because we had seen, like, this band Couch there. Aaron Dilloway's band.
Aaron Dilloway was talking about Couch.
Yeah. So they're, like, people who were doing, like, songs. But, you know, pretty out there stuff. And so, like, yeah, let's do, you know, like, let's have this band. And And then we did that for a while, and then I had to leave Michigan in the trunk of a car because the police were, like, looking for me without a warrant, and my pro bono lawyer was like, get the hell out of town. So I ended up going to Chicago.
I know for a while Ann Arbor had, like, a $5 ticket for MOTA.
Oh, yeah.
But this wasn't for MOTA.
No, it was throwing tear gas at cops,
okay.
You know.
So all of a sudden now you're doing gigs in Chicago?
Yeah, so I went there, and then the person, my partner for, like, 20-something years, Carly Patak, she moved there with me, and then we just started becoming a duo, and we were exploring, like, rewiring electronics. And, like, toys and garbage, because never really had money for musical instruments. So the whole idea was kind of like, how do we, you know, make sound, you know?
Create your own, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've always been kind of techie in that way. Like, I do have, like, bad rhythm, and I think I don't actually hear music like most people. But I look at it more as, like, a structural shape, form.
Well, you know, you look at nature. And if you like the wind and the waves of the water, not such a metronome, more like swells.
Yeah.
Not straight time.
Yeah. Or, yeah, exactly. It's like
that might be a human invention, you know, some kind of like ethnic cleansing or pure breed or something.
Yeah, totally, completely.
So you're building toys. You probably using amplifiers, right?
Amplifiers.
You wanted in Florida.
Yeah. And then gigging out and doing tours and then, like, connecting with people, you know, in California, in Providence, in, you know, Chicago, Michigan, and touring around at that time.
Touring, as far as the gear goes, what was it, a couple suitcases?
Yeah, suitcases, yeah, and a bunch of junk in the suitcases, yeah.
So,
So
you didn't even have to use a boat, a van. You could use a sedan or a station wagon, right?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Could be really compact because you're just going directly in.
Yeah. I've always wondered about that shit. They're getting smaller shit now for the bass amps and stuff. But drummers still, it's the guy in the rear with lots of gear.
Oh.
Fuck. Yep. But electronics, you could be pretty portable, huh?
Theoretically, yeah. You can be small. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I think the downside of electronics is they're the interface. Like, how do you make it into the real world? Like, that's the beauty of it. Like,
or the challenge. That's the challenge, right?
Yeah. Like, how do you make it more human? How do you make it more, you know, interactive?
Right. Like, you're not just hitting the space bar on the crap top.
Yeah.
Like, people really want to go to a gig to see that.
No one wants to see that, yeah. If you have, like, exploding rewired electronics, that's pretty good because you're actually, like, communicating with this thing, and you're like, okay, maybe you please make
absolutely
this sound.
Yeah. Beg from it. Look, I want to continue with this track from the Brainwave Upgrade. Let's go to 8, track 8. Watch for Pedro Show. Start off that Chuck Music, Twig Harper, track 8, Brainwave Upgrade. And then from Hokkaido, Slang with Copa Mijin. Then Lisa Cameron, Sadie Ewan with Rhino Chimera. It's Greek, what? Chimera, it's a kind of gorgon, right? Or it's a monster, turn your stone, don't stare. Twig Harper, track 9, Brainwave Upgrade. Toxic Sunrise, Sam Lockwood. Whoa, yeah. But this Watt ain't with him here. It's a man alone here. And then finally, track 10, Brainwave Upgrade, Twig Harper. People, I want to explain off air, but Twig was explaining to me that this brainwave, it's got that adjective upgrade, or upgraded would be a better
way. Yeah, so those are recordings. That was, I think, my first CDR I released from 2000 and 2001. And, you know, I woke up one day and was like, oh, wait, is that really 20 years ago? And so I was like, maybe I'll just put this up on Bandcamp because I just, you know, set one of those up. And I was like, maybe, you know, people should hear this. And so I just, you know, did a little slight tweaking to the audio, maybe a little extra here and there. But basically, it's the same thing that I released.
And as far as titles, like, fuck it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, instrumental, I think titles live in a trippy world of instrumental music anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really key. I mean, John Coltrane calls that song Alabama, you know, and then the way he's playing it. But that title, yeah, different than calling it Lush Life or something. You know, titles can be intense, but then they can also be a burden.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, I think for...
And
yeah,
I think your music is more, a little free of that.
It's free, yeah. I mean, the recorded music I make is just sort of like, well, here's some sounds I made, you know? And, like, I don't really, you know, kind of view, like...
That's interesting. You say, music I record, it's different than music I perform in front of people?
Yeah, it's kind of, I kind of have a different approach for both of those, yeah. Like, I stopped, in 2012, I got rid of my recording computer and my recording setup, and I was like, I'm not going to record anymore. I'm just going to do live. And so I just played live.
Why?
I think I was just getting too bogged down. Yeah. And I was kind of maybe burnt out a little bit of just doing it and needed a break from actually
But not music. Materials. You just didn't want to do recording. You wanted to do performance still.
Yeah. I was really into the idea of just being like, well, if you're here, you see it, you know, like, this is the moment, and it's not, like, I was just, so, I don't know, it was a heavy time in my life, and I just stopped, but I stopped 2012, and I just got a new, like, recording set up during the pandemic, basically.
Well, silver lining.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember prod shoe with some longshoremen and Pedro, it's called the Lemonade Makers, right, because if it's going to rain lemons... Just don't fucking feel sorry for yourself. Do something.
Yeah.
Sit on your fucking hands. I mean, so, okay, so you're back in. So you haven't been recording for 9 years.
Yeah, yeah. Time flies, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes, look at Arthur Rimbaud. He only did poetry for 3 years. He ended up, like, running guns. Life is trippy.
Yeah, it's trippy, and, you know, I think the dominant culture always wants everyone to be a child genius, and it's just like, life is not like that. Yeah.
That's such bullshit. That's so their parents can stop working, and they can milk them like little cows.
Yeah.
I think in Cali here, we got the Jackie Coogan law, because they would steal in the... Also, the Olympic athletes and shit.
Yeah.
Even the K-pop I was reading, these dormitory, like, based on the Disney Mouseketeer... Talent Dachau or whatever. But anyway, so you just got back in the record. You probably got a buttload of shit on your mind.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I feel honestly in the first time in my life, I'm actually just barely scraping the surface of what my internal musical mind thinks and feels, and I've just been like, oh wait, I've spent my whole life doing music, but it's never been anywhere close to actually what I feel. So it's great. Yeah, I mean, I'm so everything's magical right now.
Wow. Was it real? Holden pattern? Before, not now, but before. When you were doing music, you said it wasn't real?
Well, it didn't I just feel like it wasn't what I was. There was things inside of me I couldn't express.
Yeah. John Coltrane would say this. He says, "I'm hearing stuff that I can't play."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that's really interesting. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 12, 2021. At this Watt Peterson special guest Twig Harper. Hold us tight for hour three. June 12, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Why for Pedro show? You call that pilot error. Can't blame the plane, right? Start the third hour off with Twig Harper. Now this, the brainwave is over, people. Now we're into another project he did called The External Boundless Prison. And this is part one, Head. There was a Monkees movie called Head. And then Troopa Troopa from Poland with Mist. And then part two of this, External Boundless Prison from Twig Harper, this part's called Phone. Tell us about this External Boundless Prison. Is this after the... Well, the way I understand it is, Brainwave is 2000, right? It's 2002, then you do another thing, but 19 years, but you quit 12 years. So does this come in between 2002 and 2012?
That one was... Yeah, I kind of view that. I recorded that at the beginning of the pandemic, and
Is really contemporary. Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like that one was me just picking up where I left off, and I was just trying to like put it to bed, and then be able to go somewhere else. Yeah.
Right. Take out the trash, make more room. for the in the can. So the idea of the external boundless prison, because there's some kind of contradictory imagery going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I mean, in some ways, I'm just like, what does this pandemic feel like? I feel like it's...
You're talking about the sitch. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand. So, external boundless prison. Yeah. So, we're constrained, but in some ways, we're always constrained, right? That just kind of changes. What is to be done? Yeah. The choices, right? Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, right, if you have too much freedom, no boundaries,
right,
it's not interesting, right. You know, and you really can't do anything. And when you set a clear, you know, goalpost guidelines of something, you can still have, you know, experience infinity within that. And it actually is a more helpful tool.
Yeah, it makes great sense. And, of course, part one is the head, because that's where the shit starts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the phone. That's how you make connects, especially if you're in prison or you know, COVID-19. Okay. So in a way, so do you have a, in your compositions, who was on yesterday, Copious Notes, that's the name of his record, you know, and he said that's how he gets ready for his albums. He makes copious notes. Do you do that, or is it kind of like your performances where you improvise?
What I've been working on in the pandemic is really trying to think about, like, I like improvisation. I like the freedom of how, like, certain events will just kind of mash in each other. Like, two worlds are coming together and colliding, but how do I put those in a more of a compositional framework? Okay, these are the voices or these are the events, but they all happen at this set time.
Okay.
You know, and so it's sort of like movement. And I'll doodle sometimes, pictures of like what I think sound waves or movements will be too. So like graphic scoring is something I'm
like a storyboard for theater or TV or movie.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's very, for me, it's very abstract because that's how I like my brain, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
And fuck, what stuff do we have control over? Not only our expression. I want to play part three now, the wall.
Thank you.
Blast music for this edition. Start that chunk off with Wall, which is the third part of External Boundless Prison from Twig Harper. Then we had live a band called Stair Kits, no wave band from the late 70s, New York City. Strength Accumulative. What does that mean? and then get this. Here's Lydia Ludge doing a Creedence cover. From around there, like 1980, okay, so it's early 80. But she had a band for a little bit called Eight Eye Spy, and it's that band. And To Live and Shave in L.A. after that, and I don't know if Rat Bastard's on this recording, but he did do bass for some of them, I know.
Yeah,
I think so Thirst is in this one. It's called Mothers Over Silver Point. Then the Blood Quartet, this has got Mark Cunningham from the no-wave band Mars. New York, yeah, right. He's living in Barcelona a lot of years now. They got a new Barcelona, New York City Limits. And then finally, the fourth part of External Boundless Prison, Paper. Twig Harper. Now, why is the fourth? I can understand Wall, especially with the sitch, but what?
Yeah.
Why does it resolve with paper? Or maybe it doesn't resolve. Maybe that's a strange
I don't think
for
it resolves.
Next.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of critical of those recordings, but, you know, I accept them. But I don't know. Paper was flimsy. You know, maybe the next chapter was something about paper. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about next.
Yeah.
You got plans?
Oh, man, I have plans. Well, so I live in Baltimore, and I am renovating my building, which is an infinite project here. You know, moved to Baltimore in 2001, me and Carly, and we bought basically an abandoned building, and I've been renovating it ever since, and it's been through all these different, you know, permutations. But kind of like one of my main trips is, like, I have a lot of space, so I give artists and musicians very cheap rent with and access to space so they can do stuff.
Can I ask you a question, saying Baltimore? Because I had a cat on the show via Evan Lipson, a bass man, a Philly guy, named Door. And he's got a band called Network Glass. And this cat blows my mind with this shit.
Yeah. Door's the character, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, okay. What about this band called Mold Omen?
They're here. They're from here.
I've played buttloads of their stuff. I've never met them or anything. They've never been on the show. But those are two cats. I mean, I've had several Baltimore. A lot of interesting. That's happening in the music scene. That's bitching that. Because it's not just about bringing the sounds. It's about having a space.
I mean, that's, for me, that's been a very important thing to being, like, space is, like, you know, access to, maybe it's just I'm a penny pincher, or maybe I grew up super poor, but I'm just sort of like, you know, that's the biggest hurdle in our society, I think, for
people. Oh, absolutely. Look, Minuteman had this, spiel, right? We jam econo. That was not just a slogan.
Yeah.
If you grow up working class, you said, yeah, you learn how to make the dream fit the tent.
Yeah. I mean, we got the other options that can be kind of grim, but I mean, I really value hard work, you know.
Absolutely. So you're like, in a way, kind of maintaining the Petri dish culture, but what about you on your personal music?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing I've been into recently, which has been a really big challenge because of I kind of view myself as a little bit of a, you know, I don't really understand music, quote unquote. But I understand sound it's really funny, as an electronic musician, I had no idea about, like, MIDI or, like, you know, samples until a couple of years ago. So I'm very new to this world. And I've been really into orchestra, MIDI orchestra, digital worlds, virtual orchestra. So I've been trying to compose, orchestra music.
No. Why not? Maybe it's a good thing that shit came later, because you have this background with the other trip. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that my music had suffered in the past is, like, I was maybe too attached to this idea of, like, I need to create every sound and it needs to be completely alien and no one needs to know where it's coming from. And something flipped where it's like, what if I just use the most recognizable sounds ever? but then still use how I assemble music.
I think that's, Brother Twig, I think that's totally valid because the experience is personal.
Yeah.
And if you, if you're thinking about these things, your expression is you thinking out loud about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's totally valid. And where you were before, that's where you were on that journey, and now you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I mean, life is such a trip. So many twists and turns.
Yeah. But look, when you get the next thing recorded, will you come on the show? We can play it and talk about it?
Oh, yeah. I would love to. That'd be a great honor.
Bitchin'. Yeah. Bitchin'. Thank you so much. I want to thank you really for being on the show. It means a lot to me. It's... And thank you to the Brutal Sound Effects crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he who should not be named. People, it's been the June 12th, 2021 Dishwap Fever, so keep your powder dry.